Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bullet Maker. I'm coming with you with volume 3 of my true stories about my encounters of Bigfoot out here where I live in northeastern Rogers County in Oklahoma. The first story that comes up happened October the 12th, 2000. I titled it, Bigfoot Jumps from Tree. This is a true story told to me by one of my client deer hunters, and I was a witness to some of the facts that he presented. Keith was one of my deer hunting clients for bow season. He's a very, very generous and very kind person. He's the type of guy that you like instantly from the get-go. Sort of a no-nonsense, tell-the-truth, facts are fact type of a person. Keith would come out and deer hunt early in the mornings, as was accustomed to Keith. He would get out here about 5 o'clock, an hour before sun come up, in the bow season for October. This one particular morning, Keith came out, went down to gate 1, unlocked the gate, pulled his truck inside the gate, walked back and locked the gate up, locked his truck up, and commenced walking westwardly down an old private dirt gravel road. At approximately 17 to 20 feet in total darkness, something jumped out of a tree behind him. With a loud thump, it hit the ground and went, "Ugh!" Now this scared Keith really bad. He jumped in the air, he said about 3 feet. His feet is moving 100 miles an hour, but he's not getting any traction because he's still in the air. He gets turned around. As soon as his feet hit the ground, he's off back towards his truck. Now he said in a millisecond, he knew that he was having to run by this creature. But it was black and he couldn't see him. And the only safety he felt was back at his truck. Upon getting to his truck, he was fumbling around with the keys, and he remembered what he had told his wife one time about these horror movies that his wife liked to see. He made fun of the dizzy blondes in those horror movies that were shaking and screaming and crying, fumbling for the keys like 3 seconds before the boogeyman gets them. They find the key and get in the car. He said that's exactly what he did. He was fumbling for his keys. And he kept thinking about the statement he made to his wife, how silly that was. And here it's happening to him. Well, he finally got the right key, jerked open the truck door, the dome light lit up, and there's his big flashlight and his pistol. He grabbed both, flashlight in left hand, pistol in the right, backed away from the truck, expecting any second to see a big hairy giant standing there, and there was nothing. It was all deathly quiet again. So he locked up his truck and continued very cautiously for a little distance, and then got the scary feeling that something was watching him, so he goes back to the truck, sits in it until the sun starts to come up, then he goes to his deer stand. Of course, he didn't see any deer, and he felt foolish as to what happened to him. So he called me on his cell phone and told me the story, and I told him I'd come down. He wanted to show me something. So he's replaying this incident for me. I'm standing there next to him. It's now about 11 o'clock, and the sun is up, and it's very bright. And we found the tree, what he thought was the tree, from where the creature had jumped out of. We're looking along the edge of the fields, and exactly that same tree, there's a huge, I would say, a heel impression, not a complete foot track, because the ground was very, very hard, and we hadn't had any rain for weeks and weeks. But it did leave a really big heel impression, which told me that the foot was extremely large. I wear a size 12, so with me with my hunting boot on, I put my heel track inside that heel track on the ground, and I didn't come close to filling the void. There was also a sort of a skin fold, so you could see that it was made from a heel and not a person wearing a boot. I continued asking Keith several questions about the incident. He said there was no smell whatsoever, no sounds. There was a full moon. That's why he did not carry his flashlight at the beginning. The night before, he had carried a flashlight, and he felt like he had scared the deer because they saw him coming, and he could hear him running. So that particular night, he left the flashlight in the truck, being that there was plenty of light from the full moon where he could see where he was going. However, the tree line, shelter belt line, is really dark, and henceforth, it's where the creature came from. He was, that's about all he could tell me about the incident. It shook him up pretty bad, and he didn't want to come out during the darkness anymore, which I really can't say I blamed him. He did come out, of course, but it was light where he could see where he was going, and he could tell that there wasn't any monkeys in the trees ready to jump behind him and say boo. So my hat's off to you, Keith. I don't know if I could have done what you done, run by the creature to get to your truck. I think I would have ran the other way and probably ran through a 4-strand barbed wire fence. Anyhow, Keith had moved to Houston, Texas. This is where his job sent him, and I no longer keep in contact with him. But he had a very interesting story. Now, my next story is entitled Werewolf. And this happened in October of 2000 as well. The gentleman that it happened to, again, is one of my clients. He doesn't want his last name used. His first name is Jeff. And Jeff is a very fine gentleman. He's a full-blood Indian. He has a nice job with, I think it's McDonnell Douglas, or one of the airlines companies. But Jeff is a very avid deer hunter, and he strictly only uses a bow and arrow. And he's a real good shot with that bow and arrow. I've observed him shooting targets with it, and I wouldn't want him after me with that bow and arrow. But he's a small structured frame guy. And the very first year that Jeff joined up with me, I was driving him around the property. It was after deer season, and we were seeing deer everywhere, and he just couldn't believe the deer weren't afraid of us. Upon further inspections of the grounds, we found a size number 8 little foot track in the middle of the little rut road. There was nothing wrong with that, except this was February, and it had no toes. So either the toes were froze off, are the toes were curled under the foot as it ran. And it was so dainty, I couldn't help but think that it came from a female. There's no houses around. It's way off in the boondocks. So I knew in my mind what it was, but I did not want to scare my prospective new client, so I said nothing. So Jeff, like I say, was with me for 3 years, and the last year, a very strange incident happened to Jeff. He was up in number 3 stand, deer hunting, and Jeff always was one of those hunters that worried me, because he would come in way before sunup, which that was okay, but he wouldn't leave till way after dark. And that did bother me, because we have rules that if the hunters are not checked out by a certain time, then I have to go looking for them, because they may have fallen out of a tree and are lying there helpless and hurting. So it was always a great relief for me when I start out the door and I'd see a flashlight coming, and it was Jeff. Jeff was an avid hunter, a very good hunter, and he got lots of deer. This one particular morning, he shows up, and I told the wife that Jeff is here, so we probably won't see him till way after dark. Around 2 o'clock, I was outside doing some work on the tractor, and approximately 2:30, I heard in the distance a wolf howl. Ah! And I thought this was strange, because it was 2:30 in the afternoon, and it was coming from number 3 area where Jeff was at. So I thought that he will get to see this wolf. About 3 o'clock, I was in the house, and I noticed that Jeff was basically half running and half stumbling to the house. His skin is very dark, because he is a full-blood Indian. But today, his skin is white as paper. Very white. He knocks at the door. I open the door and say, "Well, hi, Jeff. Do you have a deer down? You want me to come and help you to haul it in?" And his first words were, "What type of animals do you have out here? What type of strange animals? I've never seen anything like it." I said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. Simmer down, Jeff. Come on in. Come on in. Let me get you some water." He was starting to go into shock. His eyes was large. He was sweating profusely. His hat was on backwards. So he sat down, and I gave him a big glass of ice water. He drank that down with nothing flat and wanted some more. So I gave him some more. Each time I'm asking him, "What exactly did you see, Jeff?" He wouldn't answer me. He would only stare vacantly up at the ceiling. I said, "Jeff, tell me, are you okay?" He wouldn't answer me. He just said to me, "I'll never be out here in the dark again. This is the last time you'll see me out here in the dark." Well, I knew what he saw, but I wanted him to tell me. So after about 30 minutes of coaxing and watching him very closely, he was starting to get his color back, and I saw that the chances of him going into shock were going away, that he was starting to get feeling better. So I finally got the story out of him, but it took me a long time. It took me about an hour, because like I say, when he would start to recount the story, he would start going into shock again. It was that frightening to him. But here's what happened. At 2:30, the wolf howled, which is what I heard. I told him, "Yeah, I heard that wolf." Well, he didn't get to see the wolf. But at 2:45, there was about 12 turkeys coming in. So he says he drew back his bow to shoot him a turkey. Because in bow season here in Rogers County, you can harvest a turkey with bow only. When all of a sudden, to his right, under an overhanging tree branch full of leaves, comes this creature out from under the limb and scoops up, two or three turkeys and commences to bite their head off. And the creature is standing upright on two legs. Jeff was in a 14-foot tree platform deer stand. When he saw this creature, he dropped his bow and everything and bailed out of that 14-foot stand and ran to the house. Now, I knew he was scared whenever something had really scared him when he shows up without his bow. That's part of his body. He would never leave that bow. So I knew something had him. So I told him, "Jeff, what you saw was a Bigfoot." He said, "Oh, no, Doug. What I saw was a werewolf." And I said, "Well, Jeff, you know, if a gorilla, a mountain gorilla, standing up on its hind legs with some turkeys and it's ripping their heads off their body, that may look like a werewolf." He said, "This is a werewolf. You can't tell me different." So Jeff was pretty scared, and he asked me, he said, "When did you think these Bigfoots were around?" And I said, "Jeff, they've always been around." I said, "Do you remember the first day you joined up and I took you driving around and we saw that dainty little 8-inch or 8-inch, a size 8, I should say, foot track in that muddy, ruddy little road?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I didn't want to tell you, but that was a small Bigfoot track, probably a young female." And he said, "Oh, now you tell me." He said, "Well, I won't be back in the dark, never again." So he left the house, and I didn't see him the next day, but I did see him the day after. And he came out, and he picked up his stand, and he left, and he didn't say bye or nothing. He was that scared or embarrassed or whatever. I wouldn't think he'd be embarrassed, but it did bother him. Because here's a gentleman that hunts all over part of the United States. He goes to Alaska to bow hunt. He goes to Kansas. He goes to Missouri. He goes to Colorado. He goes all over for his sport. But yet, a little Oklahoma gets the living crap scared out of him. Now, for me, I would think grizzly bears, which he probably encountered in Alaska, would be more scarier, but I guess not. Well, the rest of that story is, years went by. I attempted to call him occasionally to see how he was. He had changed his phone number. He had an unlisted phone number. So one day, this was last year, Jeff's old hunting buddy come out and asked if he could rabbit hunt on me, and I said, "Of course." So I asked him, I said, "Charlie, have you heard from Jeff?" And Charlie just smiled at me real big, and he said, "Doug, he's not ever coming back out. Whatever it was he saw scared him bad." So that's a true story of a person that had a scary sighting that really changed his life. Okay, this happened in November the 25th, 2002, and it's called Tall, Black, Skinny Bigfoot. Here's what happened. It was November the 25th. It was gun, rifle, deer season. In other words, it was modern rifle. We have a black powder, then we have a regular rifle. I was deer hunting out of stand number 3. It was the third day of deer season in Oklahoma, and the time was 14:30, or that's 2:30 in the afternoon. The temperature was 35 degrees. The weather was absolutely beautiful. The sun was shining. The wind had a small breeze, maybe 20 miles an hour, coming out of the north, 20 to 30 miles an hour. The temperature when I started was 35, but it got down to a bone-chilling 20 degrees. The sun was setting rather fast, and I decided that I'm going to stay there way after dark, just to see if the big bucks are moving at night. Now, approximately 3 o'clock, 3:30, I see something coming to my left from the west. I had been entertained by a bunch of gray squirrels that were playing in front of me and darting around, hiding their acorns and chasing each other. The foliage was very thick on the ground. We had a heavy lease that year, lots of acorns, good healthy trees, and when the fall hit, a big rich carpet of different colored leaves laying all over the forest floor. But anyhow, like I say, I was seeing something moving off to my left about 65, 75 yards away, or maybe a little further, because it's coming down a fence line. It's headed from the west going east. I'm sitting back south of this position in a tree stand overlooking a sloping downward trail. As this animal gets closer and closer, I put my scope on it, and I'm thinking it's too tall to be a deer. Maybe it's my neighbor's cattle moseying on down the fence line. And all of a sudden, it became apparent to me what I'm looking at is a skinny Bigfoot. I watched him for about 55, 75 yards as he crossed in front of me. What was funny was that he was so skinny that he looked comical. He had a long waist. His hands was below his, almost to his knees when he walked. He walked with an extremely good posture. His back was as straight as an arrow, and he was looking straight ahead. He wasn't looking around. He was walking like with an attitude, like he has business to take care of. I was really kind of amazed that this creature looked so healthy, but yet so skinny. The best way to describe him would be maybe a 6'6", 6'7", a black basketball player, a professional ball player. In other words, the long, lanky arms, the long legs, etc. Of course, he had no neck. He never knew I was around. I didn't smell any smell whatsoever. He was just walking by me. Now, there was this field of vision of mine is cluttered with trees. So I'm watching him walk like he's walking on the other side of a picket fence, which the fence being the trees. He finally comes directly in front of my vision, straight north of me, and I've got my rifle scope up, and when he enters this window, there's nothing for about 8 yards. I got a clear shot at him. I've got my rifle scope right on him, but I don't shoot because he's not bothered me. But I get to see him very clear, and it's just amazing what God has presented to us here on earth. Anyhow, this creature walked right on by out of sight till he disappeared. And I'm sitting there in that tree stand thinking of what just transpired. Now, if I'd have been a newcomer or a person that had never seen a Bigfoot, that would have just scared the dickens out of me. In fact, it may have even scared me so bad that maybe I wouldn't have went back into the woods ever again, because I just saw something that ain't supposed to exist. But yet, being that I have seen plenty of them, it didn't scare me. In fact, I was kind of a blasé attitude about it. Like, okay, it was a Bigfoot. So that was kind of comical in itself, that most people would give their right arm to see one of these creatures, and I practically see them on a routinely basis, if you will. Anyhow, like I say, he got on by me, and it was probably 30, 45 minutes that I was sitting there relaxing, watching the squirrels again. The wind was getting a little bit chillier now. Like I say, it got down to 20 degrees. But the sun was good and bright. But I was nice and comfy in my little tower stand. I had my huge Carhartt coat on, had my little foot heater up there, a little radiant heater by Coleman, and I was staying roasty toasty. So, anyhow, all of a sudden, I hear a tree knock. Whack, whack. And I thought, well, that's him. I thought, really, he had moved on out, because there had been about 40 minutes, maybe, or maybe longer, that he would definitely have had time to get way beyond the limits of me being able to hear him. But this whacking on the trees, tree knocks, as it's commonly called, was only about maybe 200 or 300 yards from me. And I thought to myself, that's very strange. So he continues, whack, 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 whack. There was a cadence to it that kept on and on, then long pauses, then more cadence. He wasn't getting an answer. There was nothing answering him whatsoever. So my first impression was it almost sounded like somebody nailing boards up in a tree. Of course, I knew it wasn't, but to the beginner that would hear something like this, they would assume there's someone else in the woods besides them. Anyhow, to get back to my story, he continued this for about maybe 40 minutes, then stopped, and it was starting to get dark, and the feeder had gone off, my corn feeder, and I'm waiting to see if a buck comes up, which nothing did come up. There was no deer. And then it got dark, just dark enough where I could see the ground, and I decided to leave because I was a little uneasy. As far as I knew, the skinny Bigfoot was still over there. So I was just getting ready to pack my bag, to put all my stuff in my backpack, when it happened. I jumped up out of that seat and about tore that tarp off the roof, and I flashed the light over there and made out a silhouette of a huge Bigfoot. All I could make out was a head and some shoulders, and I practically jumped out of that stand, because he was big and he was only about 20 yards away. And all the time I'm getting out of there, I'm thinking, that first Bigfoot, the skinny one, was never answered. Maybe he saw me after all. And this huge one that just got through screaming at me, the alpha male, may have come up there to scare the dickens out of me, which he's succeeded. So I hurriedly got out of the stand. I had my Marlin with me. I had plenty of firepower, but he didn't come after me, and I didn't go after him. And that was another exciting hunt. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to enjoy this story. This one I call Bigfoot Hunt at Spencer's Creek. And this particular night that we had a Bigfoot hunt, we literally saw 7 different creatures. I don't know of anybody anywhere ever that has seen that many Bigfoots at one given locale. And I'm not just saying that, I had witnesses. My stepson, Bart, he wanted to go with us that night. It was me, Bart, and 4 other guys. And this was back, I think that was 2002. But we decided to go down and really give it a try to try to see if we could get a picture of Bigfoot and roust him up. So the way we started it was we got this big trash barrel, a 55-gallon trash barrel. We cut up and split a bunch of wood and got a hellacious, nice roaring fire going. It was in the late fall, so the fire felt good anyhow. One of the guys had brought some sausage and some duck and other meats, and we had potato salad and pop, and oh, we ate very well that night. Of course, the aroma from the meats cooking on that wooden fire were drifting off into the woods, so that would help us too. We were standing around talking, enjoying the food. It got dark, I think it was approximately 7:30, and not more than 20 yards to the east of us on the side of the creek bank, this loud peacock scream, sort of like, and we all instantly ran over to the creek bank with our night vision and saw him running. Pretty good sized creature. I don't know how tall, I don't know how big, but we saw him running. So we're just amazed that he literally snuck up on us to check us out. So we go back to finish off our meal, and one of the members decided he thought he heard something, so he went to see if the creature was coming back. So the party members was over there quite a while, and we was getting kind of worried about him when all of a sudden, here he comes, and he's walking kind of mechanically. His eyes are big and bulgy, and he's almost in a state of shock. And what he finally told us was, the creature come back, and he's huge. And he was watching the creature, and the creature finally turned his head and looked at him, and he described the look as pure demonic, very mad gorilla. So this creature walked on north, and we heard a loud crash. And what we found out the next day was he had totally demolished one of my 1,500-pound deer stands, tower stands I call them, that was nailed and roped to a tree. So it took a lot of force to do that. I definitely would not want to have been in that number 11 stand. So we decided to split up. So me and Bart, my stepson, now he's a non-believer. He thinks we're all just hocus pocus. So him and I get in the mule. It is a very bright full moon. Plenty of stars, nice and bright. And him and I are going to drive over to number 7 stand. We continue on for about 200 yards, and Bart says, "Why don't you turn on your lights?" I said, "I don't want to turn my lights on this Kawasaki mule because I can see just fine." I made my first 90-degree curve, and there he stood, about a 5'6", about a 275, 325-pound Bigfoot. And he's simply just standing there watching us go by. I instantly dropped my speed to 2 miles an hour. I said, "Bart, there's one right there." And Bart looked over and he said, "Oh, that's a trespasser." I said, "That ain't no trespasser. That's a Bigfoot." "No, that's a trespasser. I can tell." And I said, "Well, I don't want to stop the mule. He'll run. But I guarantee you that's a Bigfoot." So, like I said, I had my rifle behind my head in the gun rack, and I really didn't feel threatened by the creature. It was comical. He was just standing there, watching us go right by him. The distance from me to this creature was about 25 feet, is all it was. So I could see his outline very good. The moon was straight overhead. We continued towards number 7 stand, which was another 200 yards. We climbed up into that stand, was making all sorts of noise. I told Bart we need to try to be quiet. So we got up into the stand, and we're still arguing over trespasser versus Bigfoot. And I told Bart, I said, well, I'll tell you what, you take the night vision. I've got the scope on my rifle. Let's see if we can see him. All of a sudden, we hear a coughing coming from the same exact place where we saw the creature. The coughing was just like a human being. It was just like that. And I told Bart, I said, man, if I didn't know that was Bigfoot, I'd think that was a person down there. He said, Doug, that is a person down there. I said, no, it ain't, Mark. That's a Bigfoot. There ain't no people going to come on this property. I'll shoot them, and they know it. They'd be putting their life in their own hands. So, anyhow, just as fate would have it, the creature steps out from the woods into the open field and is looking back at the campfire where the other guys are still huddled around the fire talking. He's completely oblivious to us, even though we went by him. He wasn't paying any attention. And Bart starts hyperventilating. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh. I said, simmer down, Bart. Simmer down, man. Here, I'll get a paper bag and you can breathe in it. No. It's a Bigfoot. That's what I tried to tell you. It was a Bigfoot. Oh, my gosh. Oh, look at him. Look at him. Oh, how magnificent. So I'm radioing on the guys back at the campfire. Come in, guys. We got a Bigfoot. Look straight south, straight south. All of a sudden, he takes out running. The Bigfoot does. And I mean, he was fast. And Bart says, oh, my God, look how fast he can run. Now, I estimated a speed about 35, 40 miles an hour. And he ran into the thickness of the creeks, Spencer's Creek. And that was the last we seen him. The other guys said they saw him when he ran. But they didn't see him until he started running. So me and Bart were sitting there discussing what had just happened. And I told him, I said, now, next time I tell you that it's a Bigfoot, you can take it to the bank. It's a Bigfoot. So we sat there for about 5 or 10 minutes talking. And I heard these leaves crunching. Stomp, stomp, stomp. Something's coming up behind us. Now remember, we're up in a number 7 stand. That's 16 foot off the ground. It's an enclosed stand. So I look over to my south, and I see these black legs walking. I can't see the whole body. It's only about 35, 40 yards. But I can't make out the body because of the tops of the trees that are blocking the creature. All I can see is, say, from the thighs down. He goes straight east like the other one ran. And I called the guys back over at the fire, told them we got another one coming by. But at that time, they had action. They said, we got one. We got one over here. And they took out running after this other creature, which was beyond me why they would try that, because down there in them bottoms, that stuff is thick. All the weeds, briar bushes, thorn trees. There's no way you're going to catch one of them. What are you going to do when you catch them? You know, it's awfully silly for them to do that. But anyhow, they finally got hung up in the foliage. They like they never got back out of there. But this creature that they took out after came on the north side of us. And I could see him, and Bart could see him. And he was walking our way. I said, Bart, there he is. That's the one they scared out. This one appeared to be about 5'6", 5'8", hefty built, walking on two legs. I've got my night vision. I'm watching him. What was eerie was his eyes was reflecting the moon, so they looked white. And Bart started getting the spastic, "Oh my God, oh my God." And the Bigfoot saw him turn around. It was funny. He stopped like he was stealing home base, home plate there, like he's in a baseball game. He turned around and ran straight back north. And I said, well, he made us out. Long story short, we saw three more, basically the same as the third one in that. They just come walking up behind us, chomping through the leaves. All we saw was their legs. They were just kept enough distance and vegetation and trees between us that we really didn't get to see them. Now, they didn't know we were there. There was seven total. There may have been more, but that's what we saw. I don't think they were a hunting party, because it was about 45 minutes between sightings, and it was one at a time that we saw, and all of them, we saw no small kids in the group. We did see some fat ones with beer bellies, I call it, but like has been discussed earlier, those could have been pregnant Bigfoot women. That's just a possibility there. So we finally decided to call it quits after midnight. Nothing else happened. So we all regrouped down at the fire and talked about it. And upon putting the fire out, we retreated to the house up on the hill, which is a mile away. Now, all these creatures were going east. And the neighbors across the street have some cattle, and they have these little bells around their necks, and we could tell every time one went over there, because we could hear the cattle getting real nervous and clanging those bells as they ran off. So we got up to the house. We're standing out in the front yard talking about what transpired. Was there for about 20 minutes when all of a sudden a huge rock was thrown. Well, I say a huge rock, about the size of a small baseball, maybe a golf ball, actually would be more the size of it, came swinging out of the woods, hit a tree not 10 yards from us, and hit the top of the tree, bounced down, hitting each limb on the way down, thud to the ground. We ran over to the edge of the woods, flipped on the spotlights, flipped on the night vision, didn't see a thing. My theory is that one of those creatures followed us all the way back up to the house, so he knew from whence we came. So all in all, it was a very, very exciting night. Lots of visuals, no photographs, nobody got hurt, but it was very, very good. We call it the Spitzer's Creek Hunt, and it'll always go down in our mind as one of the best. This is an interesting story that happened a couple of years ago. I had a neighbor that's got several hundred acres. He's a cattle rancher. He has lots of nice cattle. He calls me one night about 9 o'clock, and he says, I understand you're quite the expert on mountain lions. And I said, no, I'm no expert on mountain lions, but I've seen a lot. Well, that's what I mean. They say that if I need to talk to anybody, it should be you, because you've had a lot of encounters and a lot of dealings with these mountain lions. I said, yeah, that's true, I have. He said, well, I have a mysterious incident that happened. A couple of weeks ago, I was missing a cow, a nice cow, about 800 pound, and I've been missing some prior to that, but this one I found, and I found it up in the fork of a tree about 14, 15 feet high. I said, a whole cow? He said, yes. Said it had its neck broke. It was banged up pretty good. Legs broke. It had been eaten on. What do you think could have done that? Do you think a mountain lion could have done that? I said, I don't think a mountain lion, no, a mountain lion could not have done that, not 800 pounds. I said, now they could take a deer in a tree, but they don't do that. They eat their kill on the ground. And when they've had their fill, they take their hind feet and they cover it up with dirt, leaves, and sticks. They just kick it on there, cover them up, dirt and all, and they go off and they lay down and digest it. But they'll lay down within an area that they can watch their kill. Then when they get hungry again, they'll come back and finish it off. And I said, so a mountain lion would not take a cow or anything else up in a tree. I said, a bobcat eats things in a tree, but a bobcat can't lift anything that heavy. Now, there's some big bobcats, and they could probably take a small deer. But I doubt if they could take a large grown deer, let alone a cow, an 800-pound cow. So he kept trying to goad me into saying what it was, what could have done it, and I definitely wasn't going to tell him Bigfoot, because this individual is one of those types that you wave at them on the street and they don't wave back, and they avoid you, but when they need something, here they are. So he's also the type that would be talking about you to everybody else. So I didn't want everybody to think I was the Bigfoot freak. So I told him I have no idea what done it, but he ought to set a camera up on that kill in that tree, and whatever comes back, he'll get a picture of it. And he told me they'd already drug it out of the tree, and they buried it with a bulldozer. I said, well, that's too bad, because it would have been interesting to see what that was, what had killed that cow. Of course, I knew what it was, you know, but I wasn't going to tell him, like I say. And this terrain that this happened in is along the same hill I live on. Strip pits all around us. The hill runs for about 5 miles. It drops off into a plateau, a small canyon valley, then starts another hill, Strip Pit Hill. So he joins me, his property joins my property, and his cattle runs on the other side of the road from where I live. So I didn't want to seem offensive to him, but I definitely wasn't going to give him any other advice or comments on what it was. But anyhow, that was kind of a unique story that had to be told, in that things are happening out here even today, and most people don't have a clue as to what it is. It's like I've always tried to tell, there's lots of things to be watching for Bigfoot kills. There is what we know. I made a little list out of what we know about Bigfoot. Number one, Bigfoot travels some short or long distances by 4x4 mode. Number two, Bigfoot does sound like a peacock, which is one of his many screams. And yes, I saw him do it. The story hasn't been posted on the MABRC yet. I might also add that another of his calls, if you saw the movie Predator with Arnold, when Arnold stood on the log and hollered a challenge for the creature, that is the exact sound I have heard several times out here in my neck of the woods. Number three, Bigfoot does knock on trees with an object, wood, metal, lost hunter's body, just joking, but doesn't always use trees to knock on. I've heard him knock on fence posts. I've heard him knock on no trespassing signs. Number four, Bigfoot can be seen any time of the morning, midday, or night. I've seen him any time of the above mentioned. Number 5, I have never seen Bigfoot eat. I'm sure he does. I just have not ever seen him eat. While I had seen him, he's always just been walking. Number 6, the tallest Bigfoot I have seen was around 6'7". Other parties that have hunted with me in the past have seen 8 to 9 foot. The average Bigfoot that I have seen is 5'6". Number 7, all Bigfoots that I have seen have been black in color. I call it skunk black. One was a reddish brown, and some that I have seen were blue black. That is, they were so black that there was a blue tint in the hair. You could see the blue tint when the light hit it. The black, I call it raven black. I had a Ford Bronco one year with an Eddie Bear package, and the color on the Bronco was raven black. And when the street lights hit it, it looked blue. Number 8, I have found Bigfoot's kills, and they do break the neck, deer and cattle both. They grab their upper lip and pull the head over on the back of the animal, breaking the neck, and in so doing, it pulls the face of the skull of the animal off, laying it on the back of the animal. Number 9, Bigfoot does leave bait piles. I have found a couple. Number 10, this is a new add-on. I remember it from an experience I had last night while I sat in the dark. Number 11, Bigfoot is able to deduct and reason. It can reason, and it is very dexterous with its hands. Some of the sounds that Bigfoot makes, they have a long, drawn out, kind of a bone sound, sort of a that continues for about 20 to 30 seconds. It almost sounds like it's being blown from a hollow bone. It's repeated several times and answered back from a distance from two other locations. It's a spooky sound that you won't forget. It is a hunting sound. They are on the hunt. That's all that I can think about right now. Feel free to email me or ask me questions. I will add more as time comes, as things happen. If you just want to contact me, I'm at chiggers@hughes.net. That's Chiggers, C-H-I-G-G-E-R-S, at Hughes, H-U-G-H-E-S.net, N-E-T. That's my email. You can ask me questions, or if you have reports of your own, you can tell me about them. And if you would like to come over to the MABRC site sometime, come on over and join up. We would be more than welcome to have you. We're a friendly bunch, and we can answer a lot of your questions, and you can learn some new stuff from it. And that's about all I've got to say. I'll be doing volume 4. I have a few more stories, but I couldn't get them all on this CD, in that it's only an hour long is all. But anyhow, thank you very much, and have a good night. Keep on the lookout for Bigfoot.